Welcome, and thank you for joining us on the Birth Mother Matters in Adoption podcast with Kelly Rourke, where we delve into the issues of adoption from every angle of the adoption triad. Kelly is the executive director, president, and co-founder of Building Arizona Families Adoption Agency in Phoenix, Arizona, the Donna K. Evans Foundation, and the You Before Me campaign. She has a bachelor's degree in family studies and human development and a master's degree in education with an emphasis in school counseling. She was adopted when she was 3 days old. She was born to a teen birth mother, raised in a closed adoption, and reunited with her birth mother in 2007. Our goal with the Birth Mother Matters in Adoption podcast is to spread awareness and education about the beautiful choice that is adoption.
So today we're going to talk about open adoption. Open adoption refers to the type of adoption where birth parents and adoptive parents both have contact. This contact usually begins prior to delivery after they have been formally matched. And the goal of open adoption is to create a relationship that can be sustained throughout the adoptee's childhood and moving forward throughout their lives. Research has shown us and continues to show us how important it is to have an open relationship for all members of the triad. All members of the triad benefit from having an open adoption. For an adoptee, it has been shown that knowing where, you know, they came from, having some level of relationship with their biological family members, having a sense of understanding about the adoption is very beneficial for them.
You can tell me about my family history. You can write it all down on paper and I can look at it and I almost just glaze over. I don't think about it until you put a face, like even if it's like a video chat like we do, you put a face to it and it makes it real. It makes that connection more real than it is when you're just looking at, oh, that's my heritage.
Exactly. And I will tell you that when I reunited with my birth mother and my biological brothers, just like what you said, I couldn't stop staring at them, looking for physical similarities, trying to see, oh, that's where, you know, I got my eye color, or that's why I'm short, or, you know, you're looking for these similarities.
So when you met her, did you, okay, so obviously you had some information about her, even before you talked to her on the phone. And I would assume that each little progression toward that, so when you started talking to her on the phone, and then when you actually saw her and went out and visited her, I imagine each step made it more real and solidified that relationship.
It really did. And because I was in a closed adoption and didn't have the advantages that open adoption offers, it really did. And it was, I could really at that point understand why it comes so highly recommended to partake, if you can, in an open adoption from an adoptee's perspective. I think it's super important. I think that the benefits are numerous. And obviously there are situations where an open adoption is not in the best interest. And mm-hmm. I understand that as well. But in the event that it is, and in most cases it is highly recommended. For an adoptive family, it is also very beneficial for them to be in an open adoption because they can help answer, you know, their child's questions. You know, if they have questions about, well, you know, tell me about my biological mom, or I want to know more about this, they have that relationship. And I think for an adoptive family, from what I've been told from adoptive families in open relationships, they have a sense of peace and a sense of pride that they have this open adoption relationship, because they're able to say, hey, you know, this is, you know, you're able to watch the child that you placed for adoption with us grow up, and you're able to see how amazing this child is turning out and, you know, what a blessing this child has been to our family. For a birth parent, getting to see the child grow up and knowing, wow, I did do the right thing. Wow, this really was the right choice. I can, you know, close my eyes at night and know my child is in a loving home. I do have contact, and, you know, sometimes it's a minimal contact relationship with a child, but I am still able to, you know, see pictures and have letters of my child on Christmas morning and when they take their first steps, the first day of kindergarten. And I still get to celebrate those milestones, even if it's from afar.
So, as we've talked about, you were raised in a closed adoption. How do you, because I never really thought about this, but how do you think it would have affected your adoptive mother's relationship with you and with your birth mother had she had that relationship through the years?
You know what? I think that's a really good question, and I'm not entirely sure how I could answer that. Let me explain a little bit more. When I was adopted, as you said, mine was closed. Back then, open adoptions were so uncommon. You know, I didn't know anybody, or I hadn't heard of anybody who was in a closed adoption. So in some ways, it would have been so far out of the norm. I don't know that it would have been, there would have been enough information or support to help them in, you know, develop this open adoption relationship. I think that it eventually, you know, they're both amazing people. I think they would have figured out the dance between them and how to make that work. But there wasn't a model of how to do this back then. And so in time, you know, when I reunited, they did get to have a conversation on the phone. Mm-hmm. And
but at that point, they hadn't had any previous communication. There wasn't that years of communication that you can get now with an open adoption. That just wasn't a thing at the time.
Right. And one thing that was interesting, though, that my adoptive mom did share with me is that over the years at Christmas time, she would send a letter and picture to the adoption attorney that facilitated my adoption, but it was a closed adoption. So my birth mother never saw those letters and pictures. But my adoptive mother was very open in saying, you know, this is the child that you helped us adopt. And here's, and so he did get to watch me grow up through letters and pictures at Christmas.
Now, did he still have those letters and pictures when you recontacted with the lawyer?
No,
he didn't. None. Oh, that's too bad. Mm-hmm. What a shame.
Yeah. That would have been fun to go back and read them.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, back then that just would have been something so far out of the norm. When open adoption began becoming more of a commonality than it is now, back then there was so much fear, and this wasn't something that my adoptive parents worried about or anything like that. But for people who would even begin to broach on open adoption, you know, there was that fear of, oh, you know, a birth mother's going to come through the window and steal my child, or I'm afraid that's going to happen, or they're going to try to take my child back. And that's not what we have seen as open adoptions become more and more popular, more common. And again, I would say, you know, over 90%+ have at least semi-open adoptions, meaning they're at least doing letters and pictures. Fully open adoptions, we're going to talk a little bit about that today, are becoming also more and more common. Research is showing us that this is in the best interest of all members of the triad, the adoptee, the adoptive family, and the birth family. So when people talk about, like, what are the key aspects of openness and adoption, really information and contact are, I would say, at the top. So some adoptive families and birth families do video calls if they don't live in state. Maybe they do video calls on specific holidays and birthdays. They also do letters and pictures. We use, at Building Arizona Families, we use a program where they can go online and they upload letters and pictures, and then the birth parents can go log on and they can see all these through this portal. They can see all the letters and pictures.
And they also, from there, they can probably print them up or whatever they want to do with them.
Okay. Yes. They also can get a book with all, like, the pictures so that they have a book as well.
Oh, nice.
They can also send messages through this portal to each other. I have seen when they have visits. So sometimes even out-of-state families, adoptive families will fly in once a year and and have a visit with the birth family, just to continue that connection. Again, I've heard so many positive stories after positive stories of how important it is to everybody. Many, many, many adoptive families are so incredibly grateful to birth parents for giving them the gift of a child. Mm-hmm. And they look at it as a way, like, not giving back, but being able to show up and say, look, it's 7 years from when the adoption occurred. We still love you and appreciate you as much as we did the day that you handed us this baby. Here's the baby. This is how she's doing. Let's go to lunch.
Yeah, just a huge thank you. And, you know, the picture I get in my mind is the birth mother actually getting a chance to interact and play with and hug her child, because it is her child still, you know? So,
yeah. So when I reconnected with my birth mom, I know that my adoptive mom talked about sending her one of my baby shoes. She said she couldn't send them both, but she wanted to send one because sure, that way they would both have a part of that monumental step. So
that's,
I thought that
very
was really
touching.
Neat.
That's nice.
Yeah. There are varying degrees of openness in open adoption. So again, we talked about semi-open versus open. A lot of families will start with just letters and pictures, and sometimes that will evolve. So maybe they are doing letters and pictures, and over the years they connect and the relationship builds and they get stronger. And then they decide they're going to do visits and they're going to have more frequent communication. Maybe they're going to do FaceTimes. Maybe they have a text line that is just designated for them to be able to text each other. So there's lots of ways that you can have an open adoption so that everybody is comfortable when you do an adoption and you have what we refer to as a PACA, which is a post-adoption communication agreement, and that specifies this is what we're agreeing upon. And usually I have seen them where it's letters and pictures, you know, 3 to 4 times a year for the first 18 years. And that is like the minimum when you're looking at like a semi-open adoption. I have seen them much more to where there's a visit included, and that's usually for the first 3 years at the 3 year mark, for visits and things like that. We usually like the adoptive families and the birth families to kind of reevaluate, you know, how is the child handling the visits, the openness? Mm-hmm. Is this a good amount of openness for everybody involved? You know, is this good to continue? Is this positive? Is this working? And I think, you know, the message that I really want to convey in this podcast is that open adoption is not always what you see in the movies. It's not what you hear. You know, some people say, well, I'm still worried, you know, that they're going to, you know, come and try and take the baby. And that's not what this is. You know, a birth family isn't placing a baby for adoption to come to take the baby back. They're placing right. The baby for adoption because they know that this is what is in the child's best interest. They're doing it out of a place of love for that child. I think that's really important to remember. They really want to focus on the child's well-being. They really want, you know, openness can help reduce those feelings that the child may have about why they were adopted, you know, understanding more about their identity. And it can also allow them to have attachments to both the adoptive parents as well as their birth parents without that confusion. If you start that at an earlier age, there's less, you know, they always say that children are the less judgmental the younger they are. You know what I mean? That as they grow up, that's when they start learning things. So if this starts at a very young age, they're going to have the ability to get older and really understand the process of adoption and the value of the open adoption.
Now, early on in this podcast, you talked about how it starts before the actual birth. What does that look like in most cases?
So it really depends on when a birth family comes into the adoption program. So once they come in, you know, some birth families come in very early in the first trimester. They don't get matched at least until the second trimester. And some birth families don't come in until the end of the third trimester or even after delivery. So depending on when they come into the program, and how quickly they're matched with an adoptive family is when the openness can begin. I always recommend that once they are matched with an adoptive family, that they begin developing that relationship. You know, when you're in the hospital and you have made an adoption plan and you don't have a strong formative relationship with an adoptive family, that's harder. You know, it is harder to then place your baby for adoption with a family that you don't know. If you have taken the time and effort and energy and love and poured that into developing a relationship with an adoptive family, at that point you have connected and there's a bond there. And it's very different placing your baby with somebody at that point that you are so close with. So I think by doing phone calls with alongside your adoption agency, but with an adoptive family flying out and doing a visit and going to lunch, again, the adoptive agency can be there with you, some, you know, personnel from the agency, to help foster and build that relationship. Mm-hmm. That is the foundation that you are starting with. And then when the baby's born, again, it just continues, the love just continues to grow. For adoptive parents, I think having a better understanding of the child that they're adopting's background, they will also feel more connected to the adoption story, and they will hopefully want and understand the importance of the openness in this and not feel, you know, threatened by the birth parents or anything like that, because that's not what this is. This is not, you know, oh, they're there and I want them to bond to me. It's not. It's, you know, the bigger, the better in terms of a family. The more people that love this child, the better off this child is going to be, because the more loved and the safer the child will feel. When an adoptive family is matched with a birth family, some considerations that really need to be talked about and discussed are things like the family, individual family needs. So when you are developing what type of openness that's going to be for your adoption on both parties, the adoptive family and the birth family, it's important to find out what each of their needs are and their comfort levels, because again, you want to make sure that everybody is on the same page. In order to have an open adoption, there needs to be a foundation of trust, respect, a belief that it will continue. Because again, when you start a very open adoption and the child is brought into this relationship of knowing their birth parents and obviously living and being raised by the adoptive family, you want to make sure that this is sustainable. And that's really important as well. An adoption agency can also help foster this open adoption. And if there's ever any issues or there's some questions or concerns, you know, it's really important to lean back on adoption professionals who've been doing this. I know that our agency has been doing this for over 20 years. And so we have a lot of experience in open adoptions and watching them grow. And it's really amazing to hear from people 5 years, 10 years after they've adopted, when they talk about the relationship that they still have with the birth family, or vice versa. Maybe we talk with the birth family and they talk about how open their relationship is with the adoptive family. One thing that is important for both parties to understand, the adoptive family and the birth family, is this is not a co-parenting relationship. This is by no means anything related to that whatsoever. This is a relationship where an adoptive family and a birth family have a connection and they share information. They have may have visits. They may do, you know, video chats or text messages. The birth parents receive letters and pictures, but this is not where there are shared decisions regarding the upbringing of the child. And that's one thing that can often be misunderstood for somebody who doesn't understand open adoption.
Now, have you seen anybody on either side kind of take it too far one way or another?
No, I have seen where boundaries need to be established. So in other words, when birth parents are talking about, you know, an open relationship and they're trying to understand the dynamics of what that really looks like, it's important to explain that this isn't like, you know, you're not going to be going to Christmas dinner, you know, or Thanksgiving dinner. That's not what this is. Now, has there ever been a circumstance where that's happened? Probably, but that's not something that would be defined in a post-adoption communication agreement. That's not common. That's not something, you know, that we have seen. But I think that when you establish boundaries, that is probably one of the most important components of an open adoption, so that everybody understands what that really is and what it looks like.
And I do think that it's important to know that, so generally speaking, the birth mothers and or the adoptive parents are usually going into this pretty new to the process. And I think it's important to be associated either with people who've gone through adoptions before, or especially adoption agencies and attorneys who've dealt with these situations over and over and over and have seen some of the pitfalls and the places where people succeed in these kind of relationships.
I agree with you. I think that is really important. I think also as time goes on, as adoptions continue to flourish in open adoption realm, I think this is going to be even more successful. Because again, back when I was adopted and adoptions were primarily closed, having an open adoption in a primarily closed environment, people aren't comfortable being trendsetters in that type of situation in most cases. However, the fact that people have gravitated, studies have shown, research has supported, open adoptions are key for all members of the adoption triad. And again, in most cases, I think that this is going to start working itself out. And just like I said, it's going to be like almost hopefully turning the wheel with the comfortability of people understanding adoption. Again, this is another primary example of why adoption awareness is so imperative and so important to spread the word, because this is a very strong component of what makes adoption so successful.
We have a pregnancy crisis hotline available 24/7 by phone or text at 623-695-4112, or you can reach us on our toll-free number 1-800-340-9665. We can make an immediate appointment with you to get you to a safe place, provide food and clothing, and help you get started on creating an Arizona adoption plan, or just give you more information. Check out our blogs on our website at azpregnancyhelp.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by looking for AZ Adopt Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, make sure to rate and review us on whatever platform you use to listen to us and tell your friends about us. The Birth Mother Matters in Adoption Podcast was written and produced by Kelly Rourke and edited by me. Thanks go out to Grapes for letting us use their song I Don't Know as our theme song. Join us next time on Birth Mother Matters in Adoption. For Kelly Rourke, I'm Ron Raines, and we'll see you then.